three-man pod, all right?
How did you infiltrate the call without me initiating?
I added Eric on Skype, and he took care of it.
It just said, ask him to join conference, and I said, okay, Skype, I'll do that. And it invited him.
Guys, I'm pumped. I'm super pumped for this. We are taking ground every day.
I almost want to go get some beer, but I'm just getting over a cold.
I know. I wanted to get myself kind of, you know, liquored up a bit.
Yeah.
Flow, get it, you know.
Some beer. You want me to go get a beer for me, at least? I had one with dinner, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, I think when people look back at the podcast and they're like, damn, Ryan was riffing the whole time. I mean, well, that's kind of the way to do it, is beer up.
Absolutely.
All right. Ryan, where'd you go for dinner?
Casa.
The staple.
Yeah, I mean, where? What else, you know? Jake's, Casa.
Casa, Jake's.
It's about how we roll. Perkins, occasionally. Yeah. Last time I went to Bob Evans, I got sick. Tell Amanda that I hate Bob Evans now.
Oh, man, that's not good.
How do you know it was a Bob Evans? How do you know it was a Casa?
I know. Naughty, I know.
It could have been a number thing.
The fact that you're even asking that question makes me wonder.
You could have gotten a poop smudge on your finger from taking a shit. It could have been anything.
Yeah. Could have.
Don't put it on Bob.
All right. So what's the
what's our talking points?
Yeah, I think what we want to do is we want to go review, just do a week one review, like you know, game by game, maybe do a week two preview. We want to do a baby check-in as well with you, Eric, We want to do a countdown.
Okay.
Countdown to Colt.
We'll hit some topics there.
So what do you think? What do you think the order should be? Joel, are you moderating or am I moderating or how are we going to do it?
It's not my natural position, but I can kind of be the point man and then you guys can just kind of work off each other.
Sounds good.
I think it also would be nice to add a little, let's discuss the midweek drama and, you know, I could say something.
John, I don't want to hash that, dude.
No, I could just say, you know, just want to say that all is forgive. I don't know. Maybe not. Never mind.
If you want to throw in some Notre Dame jokes, that's fine. But I mean, other than that.
Oh, yeah, that's going to really help settle that's going to calm things down, I think. Well, I think it's and we can start the podcast now. We can, which is going to be beginning now, you know, but.
Joel, are you going to edit? Is your plan still to edit this down?
No, I'm not going to edit it down.
Well, then do a. Not at all?
No, we're kind of live now. You guys want to do like an official start?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's all. At least take a shot at it, you know what I mean?
All right.
Do we need any intro music or anything like that?
Play some music and bring me in. And I'll come in when I hear.
Hold on, I got the perfect intro song. Hold on.
Okay.
Gotta give me 2 seconds here. All right, hold on. Here we go.
All right. Welcome to the Post Week One podcast. I'm joined here with Ryan Gilmer and Eric Marshall. Of course, I'm Joel. How's it going, guys?
It's going great.
It's going good, man. Happy to be a part of the Week One pod.
Is there anything new going on, Ryan, your end?
You know, not much. Not since the beatdown I put on Nick Week One. Feeling pretty good about that, but. Still just kind of coasting off the emotional high from that victory. Nothing else going on.
Right, I am. I'm joined with two of this week's big winners, and I'm obviously down at the bottom of the barrel.
Joel, yeah. I'd like to note that I am actually sitting here looking at a picture of Felix Jones with a sock around my schlong. Just want to make that mention there.
Good. I'm glad that we're not responding.
Welcome, Eric. Welcome, Eric, everyone.
I'm glad that we're following the plan to not respond and stoke the flame.
I just want to be clear. What's happening over here?
Right on. I was going to mention for our listeners at home, we're doing a podcast via Skype. This is a three-way Skype call. So there's going to be a little bit of a lag and a couple of awkward moments as we kind of figure out this process. But hopefully it'll kind of smoothen out, and repeat guests in future weeks will add to the quality and clarity. So let's begin with week one. What were some of the big surprises? What were some of the teams that did well that you expected to do well? Brian, we'll start with you.
Well, I mean, I think the big surprise was, or at least, I mean, the come-from-behind victory for Beck. I mean, coming back from the dead, really. I mean, his early game guys didn't do anything. Matt Ryan, sorely disappointed in his first start of the year. And then Hernandez and Welker just go nuts in the Monday night game, and he makes up like 50 points. Doesn't even need Willis McGahee, I don't believe. I think he'd already won by the time McGahee's game kicked off.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Pittsburgh's defense, too, got him negative points.
McGinnis,
people were already writing back off. Like, is he even worth being in this league? And then all of a sudden he storms back to take down Tyler. Pretty epic, I'd say.
McGinnis said that McGahee is like the sole. Did McGinnis say that McGahee was the sole running back option for Denver?
No, I think there's a timeshare going on there, and I think that that's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons why Brian does not like No'Shawn Moreno, because there's a timeshare, but I don't think that he'd be the sole running back. But
yeah, Moreno's there, but McGahee is supposed to get a lot of the red zone carries, touchdown, you know, that kind of thing. Plus, Moreno's just. He's terrible. At least McGinnis has said such things. McGinnis actually talked. Another interesting week one development. McGinnis actually talked John out of starting Moreno. John's going to deny that. I know he's going to deny that. But I mean, it was pretty compelling arguments Brian gave. Got another manager to change his week one starting lineup. So that's, I got to give him props for that too.
Wow, he'll be holding that over John's head for a while.
Let's just be honest. Brian's a really great manipulator, and you know, it worked.
What else in that matchup happened between Cornbread and Beck? Chris Johnson got shut down by Jacksonville, or I don't know what the case was there.
Yeah, he didn't have a lot going on. Vernon Davis, a Joel Weidenhammer, a Hall of Fame favorite, came through. With less than 10 points. Ingram, too. Mark Ingram had 4 points in the Thursday night game. Obviously, Sproles, Pierre Thomas were catching a lot of the passes out of the backfield, and Ingram didn't get a touchdown, didn't get anything. So that was a big deal.
Yeah, those guys really
held him back.
I don't think it's much of a surprise that Cornbread did as poorly as he did. I mean, Schaub's a little unpredictable. Hakeem Nicks really showed up like we would all expect. But Chris Johnson really just came back to the team, and he's got a new coach, and he's trying to get used to a whole new offense. And I think that just because Chris Johnson signed his deal, that Cornbread couldn't help himself. He had to take him. But at the same time, it's going to be slow going for him. You know, I would say Chris Johnson's a little bit of a wild card, especially with how high he was picked. You just don't know what this year is going to bring for him.
At this point, it seems like Ray Rice was the smartest fucking decision the entire first round.
I don't know about that. I mean, I think there were a lot of Rodgers, second overall, I think was still a good pick. Foster at four may still be a really good pick for you, Joel. It looks like he's going to play this week, so I don't know. We'll see. I was actually really surprised with how well Rice did against the Steelers, how well Romo did from a fantasy perspective against the Jets. So Rice definitely is off on the right foot. So,
well, we can move to another matchup here. But did Fuzzy Duck's first round pick of Tom Brady legitimize itself?
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Eric. But Fuzzy Duck is already gloating about his number 5 overall pick, Tom Brady. So let's hear it.
Yeah, I mean, I I even thought that maybe it was a reach, but at the same time, with fantasy, it doesn't work in the same way as a regular draft would. A regular NFL draft, you would assume someone would take the best player available, but you know, positions are at a premium when it comes to fantasy, and I knew that I needed a good quarterback that would carry me the entire season, and Tom Brady was the choice for me at number 5, so people would say that that was a reach, but, you know, I have 38.98 points that would say differently.
Well, top overall quarterback score this week. Why did you decide to take Brady over Vic?
Well, I think
actually, you acquired Vic last year in a much discussed trade.
Yes.
You actually did acquire Michael Vic for Dallas Clark.
Yeah.
A trade that actually turned out to be quite profitable for you. So why did you decide to take Vic over?
I didn't share Andy's pessimism about Vic, that he was a guaranteed injury down the season. I think there is a little bit of a risk for that. But I was actually scared by his preseason. I mean, there were some red flags right there with his offensive line. I mean, Cleveland just destroyed their offensive line. And he just was not having a good preseason. He was inaccurate, threw a lot of interceptions. And those were just some red flags for me, and I just thought Tom Brady was the safer pick. And then I also thought Tom Brady this year had a higher upside. He finished out the top quarterback point getter last season, and I think he was he's primed for another terrific year. So I just thought Tom Brady was definitely a safer pick, and also could be, you know, just as much of a valuable pick, too.
Dude, Eric, I appreciate all those points, but you really just took him because he's white. And
keep in mind, keep in mind, I did please my wife by not taking my.
Oh, that's true. Amanda hates Vic. That's right. You could have just said that, too. That'd have been enough for me.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone deserves forgiveness, Amanda. Everyone has forgiveness.
Eric, I was going to say, your team's kind of interesting. You took, in comparison to mine, you took Jennings, I think, in the draft, like 2 or 3 spots after I took Vincent Jackson. So I'm going to be wondering about that all season. Is Tim Hightower's output sustainable? I think he had something like 25 carries for 75 yards and like 3 bucket catches.
Yeah, I was reading that's not going to change, at least in the near future. I mean, as my second running back, I don't think that's a bad option. He finished with over 18 points. I think he was definitely one of the backs with the most upside. He had a terrific preseason, and you just can't discount a Mike Shanahan running back in the style of offense that they run with the. With the zone blocking scheme. So so we'll see how it works out in the end, but so far it's off to a good start.
Right on. I don't know what there is to say about Paul's team. It's kind of like a pretender-contender issue. I don't know. He scored 108 points. McFadden, all right.
Yeah, I think Paul's... I mean, I think Paul will be all right. Stafford, Andre Johnson, McFadden all had big weeks. Owen Daniels gave him nothing, which probably won't be the case every week. His defense, I mean, 7 points from his defense, 8 points from his kicker. But everyone, I mean, he had a lot of double-digit weeks, or guys in double-digit points this week. I think he'll be all right. I mean, granted, this week I don't think he's going to have a very positive experience. But, I mean, I think over the course of the season, you know, if Stafford stays healthy, I think he'll be fine.
All right, right on.
But I think surprisingly, I think Mike Williams, I think is kind of a wild card there. He could have a magnificent year, or he could be a dud as well. You just don't know. I'm always a little skeptical of rookies who do well one season and then they come into their second season, because there's just not a whole lot of multiple years to build on in terms of your impression. And so I think he'll be okay, but. Again, he definitely has a high upside. We just don't know. But he came out with 14 points, so that was a solid production for him.
Dude, I've got a good idea. This may be actually a bad idea. Here's what I think. Here's what I think about Paul's team here. Yeah, I'm bullish. I'm bullish on Paul.
All right.
I don't know. We can go through all the matchups, or we can just kind of. I kind of made up my own cheat sheet for the week, looking back at it.
Yeah, Joel, what do you got in there? What stood out to you, man? Week one, man. What
was the thing? Let me just pull it up here. On that, the. Let's see. B to the MAC played who? Maddie?
Yeah.
Man.
BMAC. Kind of, it was an evisceration.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Well, in general, this week, I was trying to remember, you know, every season's a little bit different in the NFL, but this week one just seemed absurd with players going off for, like, career highs and, you know, I don't know, like 14 quarterbacks throwing for over 300 yards.
Yeah.
It's like Brian's team is going to even benefit from David Akers and the San Francisco defense going for 30 points combined. Just seems like a lot of teams hit like a high note to start the season.
That's very true. But I mean, on the other hand, you have to look at Maddie. I mean, his team didn't even meet his expectations, which is pretty bad because he came out saying that he didn't like his team at all. I mean, the bar was set pretty low, and yet the team actually performed under those expectations. But I mean, Brian did pretty well. I really see Calvin Johnson coming up big this year. I think Brian's a team to beat, a team to look at. I think Dez Bryant's going to be pretty solid for him. And
is Reggie Bush the new real deal?
Is he who we thought he was?
I mean, I think so far, but I mean, you just never know with injuries and, you know, Daniel Thomas coming up as a rookie, even though he's hurt. There's a lot of factors in there, but I would say he has every reason to be optimistic at this point.
Yeah, Brian's got a really solid team, I think. The thing about when I look at Brian's team, I think that he may is a risk is Vic and Reggie Bush both, I think, are really could potentially wear down significantly as the season goes on. So September, week one, you know, they're going to look good, but they both could get hurt. I mean, Reggie Bush isn't going to be able to carry the ball 25 times a game, every game, the whole season. I mean, but you know, he certainly got a ton of checkdowns. He had 6 or 7 catches for, you know, 40 yards before he ever even had a play they really called for him. I mean, that was a good pick by Brian. I think he got him in like the 7th or 8th round or something. So, right. I mean, but I'd be surprised, or I wouldn't be surprised. I think there's a significant risk that both those guys could either face injuries or just get worn down as the season goes on and see their fantasy production decrease. I think that's a risk at least. Maddie got kind of destroyed. Mendenhall, his boy Mendenhall got 2.5 points.
And that's got to – I was talking with Joel. I think that's got to be maybe one of the biggest disappointments of week one. I mean, Rashard Mendenhall was projected as a top 10 player by most people. If not that, then the top 12 or top 15. And just lays an egg of 2.50 points. I mean, that's really rough. I mean, Maddie even put Beanie Wells as his number one running back ahead of Rashard Mendenhall. Mendenhall still couldn't even produce – anything. So I think Maddie's in real trouble through this season.
Yeah. Maddie's in the house of pain.
You gotta just play it, Ryan. You gotta let that just hang out.
I'm gonna keep hitting those as this goes on. I don't even know what some of these buttons are here on the soundboard, but I'm gonna keep going with it.
Can we talk a little bit about Aaron? I mean,
yeah,
I don't want to rub it in for you, Joel, but I mean, I think Erin was the biggest surprise. I think she's redeemed herself a little bit. I mean, it's still just 1 week, but I think she's on the right track now, and I'm gaining some respect for Erin. We'll see how she plays out the rest of the season and maybe handles a little adversity. I'm still skeptical about Ryan Matthews for her, but she had a good week, and I think that she has. She has a decent team. She's got a decent shot.
Yeah, I mean, she's definitely – I've noticed or sensed a definite chip on the shoulder from Erin. She wants to gain some fantasy respect, I think. And she's been, you know, adjusting her draft strategy and approaching things, you know, a little bit more intentionally this year. Definitely showed for her in week one. Joel, why don't you give us a little rundown? I mean, what do you think about your team? It's week one. I mean, obviously you had a lot of guys, you know, underperform. Or how concerned are you at this point?
I don't know how concerned I am. I moved Bradford in just as a move because I felt like I needed to do something just for the sake of doing something. The Pittsburgh playing Baltimore, I thought that wasn't going to go well. Obviously, I was wrong. Steven Jackson being injured right now doesn't seem like a problem because I've got his backup.
Yeah.
But, yeah, everything's a mystery. I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, Bo and Vincent Jackson combined for like 9 points. I mean, that probably won't continue. I don't know much about Dwayne Bo. I've never really had him. I mean, he seems like he's got talent. Vincent Jackson, I think he'll be fine. I mean, I just think he'll bounce back. I was watching a little bit of that game, and there was a 40 or 50 yard touchdown pass that Rivers just kind of overthrew by, you know, a foot, and Vincent Jackson kind of slowed down a little bit during the route. If he would have kept pushing through it, that would have been a 10 or 12 point play right there. So I think he'll be fine.
But you have to be a little concerned about anyone on the Chiefs at this point. I mean, they did so well with Jamal Charles and Dwayne Bowe last year, but the way they played against Buffalo, 41-7, I mean, that's just brutal, and you have to have some concerns. I have Dwayne Bowe in one of my other leagues, and I have some legitimate concerns about this team or anyone on this team. I mean, Jamal Charles was considered to be a top five pick, and you know, I just don't see anyone in that team being very, very reliable at this point. So, you know, that's got to be a concern for you, right, Joel?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't know. I thought Kansas City just walked out to like a 3-4 or 5-0 start last year. So I was kind of expecting, you know, against Buffalo that game was at home too.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no idea.
Joel, you did get 13 out of 14 votes, though. That's sentiment is high right now.
That was
you.
Unprecedented support, not only for my team, but I don't think you'll see all season somebody get that many votes.
Well, keep in mind, Aaron really had no respect in this whole league, obviously, and she's gaining that back. There's no question. But over the last 2 years, I think her managing skills have definitely been called to question. But she's turning heads now, so I think that's definitely a part of it as well.
We want to move on to the Brothers Hun, the Hun matchup of the week.
Yeah, let's do that.
John with a late victory over Andy. I think Witten was the guy that put him over the top. I think he caught like a 60-yard pass late in that game against the Jets that gave John the necessary points. You know, what do we think about John? I mean, do you think he's going to be a contender this year? Do we think? I mean, Andy scored 120 points. I mean, he had a good week. We kind of were wondering is after the Peyton Manning debacle, is Andy going to be able to hang around? What do we think about both of those teams?
I think John's got a really great team. I think he's got a good shot. You have to look at some of the expectations. I mean, you feel concerned about Eli a little bit, but he might, you know, pull through. He might be just enough that John needs. It looks like Forte is going to be a beast this year. Witten's good.
No, but I've got a theory about Matt Forte. And I looked back this last year. Ryan, you had him last year, right?
Yeah, I did.
He's like a guy that would have an incredible game, and the next week, nothing. Then have another incredible game.
Yeah, I have concerns about John's two top point scorers are Forte and Britt. And Forte, I had Forte last year, and the thing with Forte is he's just not a consistent runner. His yards per carry is low. He can't pound it in from the goal line. They got Marion Barber to be their goal line back because Forte can't pound it in. I remember watching games where like they were first and goal from the one, and they would give it to him three times, and he could not get in. He had a couple big games where he would catch, like just like he did Sunday, he'd have catch a screen pass, run it in for 60 yards, and it'd be a big week. But he's a receiver that plays running back. And in the PPR league, you know, that makes him worth something. And he's still a above average running back. I just don't think he's going to be putting up 26 points a week. Britt, you know, the play he scored an 80-yard touchdown pass on a ball that kind of floated to him, and the linebacker kind of was going to lay him out and missed, and then he ran at 70 yards.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember seeing that, yeah.
I mean, Britt's got a ton of talent. He was actually a guy I kind of wanted to draft, and I think he'll have other big weeks. But I could see both of those guys putting up dud weeks occasionally. I mean, Witten and White are solid. I think Eli will be okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think this week John kind of dodged one and put up big points against Andy and got through his matchup, which is fine. But I don't know if I'm really willing to attach myself to Britt and Forte for the rest of the year.
Well, you have to consider, too, you know, I would be a little concerned about John's defense. I think he's dropped Arizona already because they gave up 28 points to Carolina. But, you know, now he's just going to try to play matchups the rest of the season, it looks like. And, you know, I hope that can work out for you. But there's other people going to be looking at matchups as well, especially when the bye weeks come up. And he may be stuck with some teams that he doesn't feel real comfortable with. And sometimes the defense can make all the difference, you know, can make you or break you. It certainly, I mean, the final score here was 126 versus 119. You know, a defense having a decent day could make the difference in that and create the win. So that's a little bit of a concern.
Yeah. My real concern is this was collusion bowl. You know, last year, and these two did nothing to, you know, even appear like there was, you know, any rivalry going on. If you look at the Smack Talk board and everything else, these are just two friendly guys playing a match. I don't know.
Well, to be fair, Andy's been in Europe.
He has been in Europe.
And and I actually want to give kudos to Andy because it looks like he dropped a few players, including Eddie Royal from Denver. But he was able to update his roster. I don't know if he's back or when he's back or whatever, but I just thought that was a good move to be able to update his roster from Europe as well. But other than that, I think you're right. You would have liked to see a little bit of fire there, but, you know, even from John's end, but John settled for the next best thing.
Dude, it was a really good matchup. Went obviously to the last game, you know, the last game they had players playing. So, I mean, it was definitely an exciting matchup. What about Andy? Andy got a big week out of Kolb, big weeks out of Wayne and McCoy. Gore actually didn't do much. Neither did Zach Miller. But, I mean, if Kolb's the real deal, I think Andy may make some noise this year.
I think so, too. But I think it's really ironic that the Zach Miller may be a little bit of a liability for him. You just don't know with this type of match. You know, Zach Miller was great with Oakland, but you just don't know how he's going to be in Seattle. But, you know, I think that
How does Frank Gore only score 10 points against Seattle?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, Frank Gore is always going to be a wild card from here on out. You just don't know with injuries or what have you. I mean, I think Andy had to take him where he did. I'm not saying that was a bad pick, but I just think that there's always going to be that risk there.
Eric, you love Frank Gore. Come on. Show some
love. Well, he gave me one good year, but Frank, I wasn't going to go with him again.
Don't sell your boy out. Just because he's had a bad week one, you're going to sell your boy out like that.
No, I mean, I just think it's ironic that, you know, Andy came out with a strategy, which I thought would have been really interesting as far as taking the top, you know, taking two of the three top, you know, tight ends and sort of handcuffing everybody else. But, you know, because of the quarterbacks and different things throughout the draft, he abandoned that strategy, and then he ends up with Zach Miller. And I think, but, you know, again, I'm not going to worry about Andy in terms of picking up a tight end throughout the season. Yeah. He's always good with that. And if Miller doesn't work out, I'm sure he'll find an adequate, especially with the way the waiver wire is working this year with a less amount of roster spots.
He's on the bench, too, from Detroit. So he can use him if he has to and kind of mix and match and see. So he's got at least another option right away he can use. What other matchups we need to talk about here week one? Steph and Dave. We haven't talked a lot about Steph and Dave.
Let's hit the Nick. Who did Nick play week one?
Ryan.
Me, oh, baby.
Yeah, me. You and Nick.
It's a close matchup.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of whiffed on Tolbert. I sat him. I mean, it was I made a good move, I guess you could say. I sat Colley, who got nothing. Started Branch, who ended up with 16 points, which ultimately it kind of ended up sealing the deal.
Do you have a wide receiver crisis? Do you have a wide receiver crisis?
I don't know. I don't think so. Branch was obviously a big beneficiary to the 500 and whatever yards Brady threw for. I mean, the Browns defense didn't come through for me, didn't create, you know, any turnovers. I'm going to stick with them this week against the Colts and see if they can bounce back before I totally jettison them. Manningham only had 4 catches, I think, for 49 yards or something against the Redskins. But I think he'll be all right. I mean, Rice and my top guys really carried me. I mean, Romo, Rice, Gates, and Johnson all over 15 points. So, and then Nick, obviously huge week out of Rodgers, had me worried on Thursday night. Wallace and Turner came up big, and then I had to dodge a big night from Brandon Marshall on Monday night to seal it. But Nick's going to be good. I mean, I think if his Colts can give him something. I mean, he may need to get rid of a die. I know I loved a die in the past, but that was when Peyton Manning was his quarterback. I think Dallas Clark will be all right for him, but he may need to find another starting running back, receiver, tight end, because a die is just not going to run the ball, and he's not going to catch a lot of passes. I mean, he's not going to score a lot of touchdowns because his Colts aren't going to score a lot of touchdowns. I mean, the Colts kind of are what held him back in week one for sure. But he's got a lot of talent at other positions.
As of right now,
he'll be dangerous.
As of right now, Nick's going to start a die again in week two, even after that Devery Henderson performance. I think like 6 catches, 100 yards, and a TD in New Orleans.
Yeah. I think if I was Nick, I'd be subbing out Devery Henderson for a die at this point. Nick, if you're listening, and I know you are, you may want to. Because Nick has a big matchup this week against John. I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit later, but. I mean, Adai's just, his value came from Peyton Manning, I think, more than, and I liked him a lot, and I would take him in the 5th round, you know, and to get made fun of every year for it, but, without Manning, I just don't think he's that scary to defenses, and he's not going to get the kind of touches that, like, Reggie Bush gets or somebody else, so.
Yeah, but you Nick have to also get, think about the Colts, how the Colts are affecting so many people, because, you know, Dallas Clark, he'll be okay, but he's not going to be the typical Dallas Clark. And I can't remember when Nick took him in the draft, but he obviously could have taken a large number of other players in that spot and gotten, you know, another tight end down the road that, you know, may put up the same amount of numbers if Peyton Manning is out for the rest of the season or whatever. So you have to think about, I mean, the Colts – with Peyton Manning gone, it's going to cause a lot of heartache, I think, throughout the season.
Well, and Nick and Andy are the two guys that have a lot. Nick has 3 Colts. Nick has Garcon, Adai, and Clark. Andy has Wayne. Andy has Manning. I've got Colley, but I mean, that's the only guy I've got. Those are the main guys on that offense. So, yeah, it was a really good matchup. I was sweating it down to the end. I know he was, too. I probably was way more freaked out and, you know, nervous than I should have been and, you know, whatever. But it was a really good week one matchup. I think Nick will be right there. What about Steph and Dave? This was kind of the low scoring matchup, the defensive struggle of the week.
Anything? Yeah, she was the beneficiary of him not scoring a lot of points. God, yeah. Adrian Peterson's just going to continue to do what he did last year, and that's disappointing. I was really surprised that he was, like, rated by Yahoo as the number one overall pick.
Yeah, I think, San Diego, decent defense, tough matchup. I mean, you're right, though. If for a number one overall pick, you'd be expecting, you know, every week to be getting, you know, 16, 17, 18 points, and on big weeks getting, you know, 30. I think he'll have a few big weeks. He just, he didn't really come through for Dave. LeGarrette Blount, 1.5 points. I mean,
you know, and Blount really could be one of the most overrated players at season's end. You just don't know. Again, it's a rookie coming into the second year. It's kind of unpredictable. I think the coach came out and said that Blount's going to continue to get those carries, so I hope it turns around for him, but it's a little scary at this point, 1.5 points. And you have to keep in mind also for Dave that Nate Caden got hurt. And
yeah, he's replaceable.
Yeah, if Roethlisberger has a better day and Caden plays that game, maybe he wins.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. You're right
so
about
that. So we're taking a shit on his team, but the other issue is I don't think Derek Ward's going to be scoring. I don't know who else he's got on his bench, but if Foster comes back.
Yeah. Well, Ryan Grant, he has Brian Grant
right.
on his bench. That's probably who he sat.
Yeah, Ryan Grant scored 5.5 points. So,
yeah.
I mean, those are my concerns about him. Yeah. Yeah, he picked up Ed Dixon, the tight end from Baltimore. Scored 15 points. But, yeah, there's not a whole lot of promise there in his lineup. So it's going to be tough.
Roethlisberger will be better. I could see him bouncing back with a big week this week in Seattle. Holmes is going to get a lot of targets. He's still got some talent there. I'm not ready to write Dave off. I think Dave will do what he needs to do to make his squad better. Dave, if you're listening, though, dude, just don't try trades. No one will accept them. They'll lowball you. They'll accuse you of collusion.
Well, I don't want any of his players. There's not one player of his that I would take. Who would you
Chicago defense?
I'd take Chicago? The Chicago defense. Okay, thank you.
You wouldn't take JerMichael Finley? Who's your tight end, Joel?
I've got the man down in Miami, man.
Yeah, but you have to think, too. Go ahead, Ryan.
What man down in Miami? I don't even know who that is.
I've got, what's his name?
I'm looking it up right now.
From the Browns, man.
Oh,
fucking Tampa,
K2. Oh,
Tampa.
Okay. That's okay. You just had to say you're a soldier. I would have known that. All right. I think we're through the week one, right? I mean, we got anything else to talk about as far as week one?
We better move on anyways.
We better move on to week two. Let's talk about first matchup. We got here. Let's go old school. Let's do the two old school Igloo matchups back to back. Let's go. First, we'll go B-Mac and Joel. We got a big grudge match. This is like Steelers Ravens, I'd say. Joel, how do you feel?
I'm saying I don't think it's intellectually dishonest for me to say I think I will win.
And here's why.
Oh, you want to explain it? I don't think Calvin Johnson's going to have the same day he had. I don't think Gronkowski's going to have the same day against San Diego. Reggie Bush is playing Houston. San Francisco's got to play Dallas. I don't think he's going to score this kind of point. I think if I do 110, 115, that's not going to be enough. If I do 120, 125, I'd beat Brian.
Well, and to your credit, it does look like Foster practice today, I think, and it's looking like he'll play Sunday. And if he does, I mean, he could score. He's only projected for 11 points, but I mean, I think that takes into account the fact that he may not play at all. I mean, if he plays, I mean, I think he'll be in the 20s, you know, as far as points go, if he's healthy and ready to go.
And so you do have Cadillac Williams as well. So what's the latest on Steven Jackson?
I think they're at least discussing him just sitting out for the week just to make sure he's okay.
That's going to be a tough one. But I think I did see that he might be day to day. And so, you know, that would if he's sitting, that would be the best case scenario for you, I think. And you could get some decent value out of him this week.
Yeah, Vincent. Well, Brandon Marshall tore up the Patriots secondary last night. Vincent Jackson could be looking on a bounce back week against New England. He's not going to get 3 points or whatever like he did last week.
Right.
Yeah, I got a shot. I mean, I don't know. I'd probably, if gunned ahead, I'd probably have to go Brian. But I mean, if you win, I know there's going to be some pretty epic posting that's going to go on. I know there's going to some pretty epic changes to the power rankings that are going to need to happen if and when you take this game. So
yeah, if we get power rankings, I just want to say Brian,
I mean, yeah.
I'm a little disappointed so far. I mean, it's halfway through the week now. Let's go.
I don't know
what
is he doing?
48 hours.
He has HBO. You guys don't understand what it's like. He has HBO right now. He's not doing power rankings.
Whatever, man. I don't need excuses.
And Brian, it's only because we love you and we love the power rankings.
We need you, Brian.
We need power rankings.
We need it. We stand.
Yeah.
Only you can deliver that information.
Yes.
All right, so Brian will be 2-0, Joel will be 0-2. All right, so anyways, yeah, let's go other old school Igloo matchup. Ryan versus Paul. What do we got?
One second.
Everybody, I mean, sentiment is already shifting towards Paul, obviously. I think people are already, you know, wanting me to fail. Point projections are about equal.
You know what? I chose you to win this game, but I really wanted to change my mind after I looked at it after a while. I think Paul can win.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I don't doubt that. I think he can. I wouldn't be surprised if he does.
I just had Ryan fear after week one.
Well, it's not fear of me. It's fear of what will happen if I do well. You don't want to live in a world where I'm drinking out of the Joshua R. Coffey Memorial trophy. Exactly. And picture taking, posing, you know, like all that. Like, that's just not, you can't imagine a scenario where that would happen. I understand.
And it looks like Paul already put in Green Ellis law firm. So
law firm's in.
Yep. We'll see how that works. I mean, San Diego's a different defense than Miami. So we'll see how that works. And you never know what kind of production they're going to give to Danny Woodhead. And if they just want to keep letting Brady air it out, which I would be fine with.
Oh, really? You know,
yeah. So we'll just have to see. I mean, it's going to be a close matchup. I think this is going to be a good matchup here.
Yeah, I mean, 2002 Buckeyes, that's me, baby. Just win. I don't care if it's by a field goal every game. Just going to get it done. Just going to do what I got to do.
After this, Paul will be 1-1 and Ryan will be 1-1.
All right, that's fair. All right, let's go Steel City versus Beck. What do we got here in this matchup? Another beatdown for Steel City, or is he going to bounce back?
Oh, God. I don't think he gets a chance.
I think Mendenhall has a chance. You know,
yeah, Mendenhall's gonna have a way bigger week. That's for sure.
And I honestly think Pittsburgh's gonna bounce back. I think they're gonna take this seriously. They're gonna really come out like gangbusters and just try to trounce on Seattle. I don't see much promise there in Seattle.
But Pittsburgh's defense.
I think that's a plus for them. You know, I got doubts about Jamal Charles against Detroit. With Kansas City and the way they played, I just don't know how they're going to respond to that. Welker may have another huge, and Hernandez. I mean, Hernandez really got a lot of garbage catches after Gronkowski caught like so many of those passes.
There's three of us here, so let's just take a vote.
Oh, I voted Maddie because he's my boy, and I got to go with him. I don't know. There's just a lot of variability. I mean, Beck's got a lot riding on Hernandez and Welker, which have, you know, if Brady throws for 250 yards instead of 500 yards, you know, their numbers are going to be affected. And Pittsburgh's D. I mean, if Pittsburgh doesn't force turnovers – you know, even if they get up 21-0 or something, and you know, let's say the Seahawks get a garbage touchdown at the end and make it, if it's like 31-7 or something like that, I mean, if you don't get turnovers, you give up a touchdown, you're already down. I mean, you lose like 6 points off the first touchdown from your defense. I mean, they may run in a pick six, they may get, you know, but they may cause 6 turnovers and have a huge week, but they may not. You know, I mean, with the defense, it's hard to tell. You know, what may happen with that. So I could see a scenario where Maddie wins. I think Beck's probably, I mean, a clear favorite, but.
Yeah, I think Maddie's got a chance. You know, Matt Ryan, the Philadelphia defense is looking pretty good with their defensive backs, you know, so Matt Ryan could definitely lay an egg there. You know, Macklin could potentially have a good game. I think Mendenhall is going to have a much better game and give some production there. And, you know, Beck's got Jordy Nelson, which I think is an interesting person to have. I think Jordy Nelson is getting a lot more looks this season, but you just hard to tell what's really going to happen. So I have my doubts about Beanie Wells, to be honest with you. So I guess I'd have to tip my hat more to Beck just because I need Steel City to prove something to me before I get in his corner. But.
And just as a reminder, Steel City is still in the All right. And all right, let's move on. Let's go Eric Aaron. The only difference is the last letter. Let's talk about it. Eric, are you going to win this matchup? Are you going to win it convincingly?
I don't know about convincingly, because like I said, I do have a little bit more respect for Lucky Seven. We'll just have to see. I'm interested in how who's that douchebag in Carolina that got drafted number one overall?
Cam Newton.
Steve Smith really cashed in with Cam Newton in this last game against Arizona. I don't see that happening against Green Bay, so I think Steve Smith could potentially be a liability.
Cam Newton could throw for 200 yards, two interceptions, one TD. I still think that one TD is probably going to be Steve Smith. It seems like he's like...
Maybe, but it looks like Arizona's defense is really bad. I mean, they had some coverage breakdowns where Steve Smith was wide open way down the field. I mean, it was pretty much a debacle back there. So I just don't see that happening in Green Bay. I think Cam Newton's going to really struggle, and I think that one touchdown will actually be Cam Newton running the ball in the end zone himself. Bolden could either have a great week or not. I think it's going to be a good matchup. I'm looking for the same kind of production out of my guys. Obviously, Tom Brady probably won't have 38 points against San Diego, but I think he'll put up enough for me to have a pretty productive night or pretty productive weekend. So. So I'm optimistic. I'm confident in my team, but I think it's going to be a tough matchup.
Yeah, I think Eric will win. I voted for Eric, although it's 3-2 right now. So Eric, I think league sentiment is already shifting against you after the Tom Brady big week. People thinking you're getting a little too big for your britches.
No, they thought that about me beforehand. They were thinking that about me beforehand, if you remember the last podcast. But I'm feeling confident. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And if I lose, I lose. And I'll tip my hat to Lucky Seven, and gain even more respect for her. But right now, I think I can win, and that's my perspective.
It's a classy move, Eric. Yeah, real classy. Real classy. All right, we'll give you some applause for that. All right, let's go to John and Nick, friends but bitter rivals.
Yeah, but John's not gonna win because of the Forte curse that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, I think I voted for Nick. It's even 3-3 in voting right now. It looks like John's favored by 10 points actually due to Yahoo projections. He's starting Sproles this week as well, which is interesting because obviously Sproles busted out in the first matchup, the punt return, some catches, couple big pass receptions. So John's going to go with the hot hand there.
I'm not really sure. I mean, it's weird, too, because Yahoo projects 16 points this week for Sproles, and I just don't know why. I mean, he's in a timeshare with two other running backs. Yeah, he's going to get some run back yards, some return yards. But is he going to run back for a touchdown every time, every game? It's highly doubtful. So, I think John at this point has to play him. But, I just don't know if Sproles is going to have the same production.
Well, he's sitting Burleson, Moreno, Mike Thomas, and Plaxico, and he picked up early Doucette. So, a lot of those guys, it's like, who's going to go off this week, kind of thing. Hope you pick the right guy. I mean, it's hard. That's a game that's hard to play.
It could very well be Ingram this week for New Orleans, You just don't know.
This could be a matchup that comes down to the defenses. And John's got the edge, I think. Slightly.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because New Orleans is going to put up a point. That's the problem. I don't know.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, San Diego D is going to be an interesting start against New England. I mean, it's as of this taping Wednesday night, it's still early, so I don't know what if Nick will do something else, but we'll see.
Plus, Denver's at home and San Diego's at New England, so that makes a huge difference when it comes to defenses,
Yeah, and they'll be wearing different colored jerseys as well, which I think is a huge. It's just a frame of mind that guys get into. It's just hard to explain. Yeah, I like Nick. I'm going Nick, and that's what I'm sticking my flag in the Nick Adams camp. Come hell or high water.
I voted for Nick, but I really don't think John's going to do extremely well this year, so I want him to win. I wish he could go 2-0 to start the season, but I agree. I have Nick winning this one.
No, I'm voting for John. I can't go with two Indianapolis Colts. You know, I know it's Dallas Clark, and I just can't. I mean, I know I just talked about Sproles with John, but Adai's way worse, and I just don't see Adai doing anything this week. So so I'm going to go with John.
I'm going to trade for Adai before this year's over. So just put that down. I'm getting him on my team. That's going to happen. It will happen.
Is he a Christian? You like him. He's like a Christian athlete.
No, dude. He's from the SEC. He's probably a gangster, dude.
Yeah.
Then Joel trade for him.
That's true. My
gang.
All gangster team. All right, how about Steph and Andy? Another grudge match. A lot of grudge matches this week. This is a rivalry week here in the Igloo Fantasy Football League.
The fight for John.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I like that.
I just want to say, too, that I'm already sensing that that Steph is sort of on the brink. I mean, she's got a lot on her mind, a lot on her heart. She's got a little distracted right now. And if she loses 2 weeks in a row, you know, this...
Steph won, dude. She beat Dave.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. You're right. Sorry, Steph. I apologize.
Steph's team is like a bad apple pie. Look at it. Like, you know, an apple pie, no matter how bad it is, like the crust and the top layer is a really good part, but if the filling sucks, you just want to eat. You got the Phillip Rivers, and then down at the bottom, the Jets, and I don't like anyone really in between.
Yeah, well, to defend Steph, she has kind of gotten hit by the injury bug already. She's Amendola got hurt, Colston got hurt, so she's already going to backup guys. She's starting Benson. She's starting Sean Green. She's starting Gibson. You know, she's just going to have to hope that those guys step up and come through, you know. But, I mean, yeah, it's hard when you have two starters go down week one. I mean,
yeah, that's tough. It's really hard to come back from that.
I mean, the guys that are out there are not going to be the same quality. So, you know, and then Andy, obviously, you know, see what Kolb can do this week, you know, and see if Gore bounces back. Be interesting. Starting the Indianapolis defense as well against the Browns. I saw that pick up. That's an interesting start. I think that could pay off, but I think I could see the Browns coming bouncing back this week. I mean, maybe I'm just a blind optimist, but I could see them hanging like 28 points on the Colts, getting some turnovers, getting some short fields. That could happen. I don't know. We'll see.
But I don't think the problem – I mean, yeah, I think the Browns had some issues offensively, namely the penalties. But I don't think – You know, I would, I don't know, I'm not feeling confident about Indianapolis's defense at all either. I could see why Andy decided to put them in there, but, you know, I agree with you, Ryan. I think the Browns are going to come back here.
We'll find out if they're any good, that's for sure, this week at least.
Yeah.
See if it was just that 1 week aberration or not, so.
Who do we have winning the Steph-Andy matchup?
I'm going to go Andy.
I got to go Andy with all of the injuries on Steph's
guys,
team.
I know. I didn't realize there's injuries. She just updated her roster, I think, today. I voted for her on the Yahoo page, but I probably agree. It's going to salvage Andy's season. But if the Cleveland goes off on Indianapolis' defense, Andy's going to lose a lot of fantasy football fear from, you know, long-time seasoned fantasy owners.
Oh, just say it. Just say it.
Me.
Say it, Joel.
Me.
Say who you mean.
Right. Me, McGinnis. All right.
All right. Last matchup, we got Tyler and Dave.
Boring.
a racist team name against a racist poster. Who wins?
Dave,
I don't think your poster is racist, dude. I never even thought that. I didn't even come up with that. Never would have thought it.
It's so weird that you, of all people, didn't realize it was racist.
It's just Donkey Kong, dude. It's like Donkey Kong in a lion's outfit. Like,
I know. Well, I commented on that. I said, you know, over and over again, every time they get black people are compared to, you know, primates, it's always like there's always some valid excuse.
It's always true. All the racist.
Why is it an African American? It's a monkey. It's racist. A monkey. It's not an African American. It's a monkey. It's Donkey Kong.
Right.
Right. Don't be so naive, Ryan.
Maybe I am naive. You know, hey, I'll admit it. I'll be the first one to admit I may be a little bit naive at times. But yeah. I will give David the benefit of the doubt.
You do eat at Casa Fiesta in Ashland, so.
I do. Cornbread.
And you like minorities.
Obviously a racist name. Obviously. You might as well call his team, like, fried chicken, watermelon, cornbread or something, because it's like, all right, get it. All right. You don't like black people. That's fine. All right, so let's analyze the matchup here. Who we got?
I like Tyler here. There's just too many red flags for me on Dave's team. Like I said, Derek Ward. I mean, it looks like he's kind of hurt, and Ben Tate has definitely taken more of the front role as the backup. But then Foster's coming in as well. So that's a big mistake, I think, to play Derek Ward. I hope he changes him out. LeGarrette Blount, like I said, he's projected a little under 6 points. I mean, just it's not looking good. I mean, I think Big Ben will have a bounce back. Holmes may do okay, and Peterson will definitely bounce back. But and Finley's against Carolina, but which means that Aaron Rodgers is just going to be throwing all over the place. So Finley may or may not get those touches.
Yeah, I want to go Dave. I really do. I want to go Dave.
I'm gonna go Dave. I don't think Chris Johnson can run the ball against Baltimore. Vernon Davis is Vernon Davis. And, yeah. Just on those two picks alone, I'm going to go Dave. Or Tyler, rather.
All right, man. I might think about switching my vote if Dave can put in someone else other than Derek Ward. At this point, I'd even put in Ryan Grant because they're playing Carolina, and Derek Ward. It just Foster's coming back. Derek Ward just probably won't get any touches, and at least Ryan Grant will get some touches.
Speaking of touches, Eric, let's get a. We're almost out of time. Let's transition to the baby Colt and the countdown. How is
it? We are T-minus 11 days until the due date. Thanks for that. I think that she's feeling good. She's pretty uncomfortable.
Amanda?
Amanda is. We had an ultrasound last week. And we saw that he had a full head of hair and has big feet. And you know what it means when he has big feet.
Yeah, here's what the audience wants to know. What's he weighing in at? What's he weighing in at? And what's the size of the penis?
Well, like I said, he's got big feet. I didn't see the penis in the ultrasound. But the kid's got some promise for him.
He's got time.
he's definitely got time. He was about 6.5, I think, when we went in last Friday. And I think he'll grow an inch a week or half an inch a week. I can't remember how it goes. But by the time the due date comes around, he's going to be 7.5, which is pretty standard, I guess. But I think Amanda would love to have the baby as soon as possible. Seriously, guys, pray for me if it goes beyond the due date because I think all the frustration is going to come right at me, and look forward to that one, John.
Is there anything you can do to move up that, if things start lagging, like can she take like hot baths or?
Well, if you want, there are a couple of things to do if you want to induce pregnancy. There's a couple things you could do. You could eat really spicy food.
Really?
We could bone, and that would make.
Oh my God.
But I don't think that
says nothing. Quite says welcome to the world.
Exactly.
Drink lots of water. Just drink a shit ton of water.
No, I don't think that'll do anything.
So it's not like you're not pissing out a baby. You're not. That's not how it goes, dude. You don't drink water and then all of a sudden the baby's ready to come out.
Take a laxative.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, that would work better.
But I will be drinking lots of water because I'm definitely going to be drinking.
What's the name going to be?
Through this process.
Tell us the name.
Yeah, let's go. Hey.
No, this is.
Oh, I thought he would just tell us. I thought I could just casually throw it in.
No, I'm sorry. I gave these drunk asses three chances, and they decided to squander their three choices of guessing the name. I think one of the names that they guessed was Numbers. John was drunk off his ass that night, and Ryan ended up running around naked everywhere.
Hey.
Pissing in the pool.
I don't remember that.
Who's going to be the first Igloo person to learn the name?
That's a good question. I think that depends on Amanda, because I actually would prefer to announce.
Aaron.
No, probably maybe Aaron or Steph.
Aaron will probably get the hospital with you.
No, I don't think so. I don't. Sorry, Aaron. No offense, but unless you bring
strict parameters over what's going to be going on during that time.
Yeah, and I mean, unless you come bearing gifts like some food or something, you know, we're gonna have family coming around and stuff, so it's gonna be pretty crazy. And the good news is that I actually have paternity leave for 6 weeks, so I'll be able to be around and help Amanda out and stuff. So that'd be good. So we're just waiting around. We got everything set.
Dude, sounds good, man.
Any lingering questions?
No, I think we need to wrap it up. I think we're about ready to end this. So, Joel, you got any closing remarks here?
I don't. Do you have any closing music?
I do. It's going to roll.
Hit us.
Let's do it.